The Majority Report with Sam Cedar. It's time to look in the mirror, America. Do you like what you see? Pick up the mirror now, America. Go ahead, pick it up. What are you, afraid? It's just a mirror, America. What could it do to you except reflect your image? The Majority Report.
It is Wednesday, January 12th, 2011. My name is Sam Cedar. This is The Majority Report. We are broadcasting live in the literal, not metaphorical, shadow of the New York Times building in the fashionable Dollar Lunch District of New York City. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a great program for you today. I mean, frankly, let's be honest, we have a great program every day. There are some days where, you know, the program is just like moderately great. There are some days where the program is fantastically great. But it's always great. Let's not kid ourselves in that respect. We have on the program today Josh Fox. He is the director of a film called Gasland. I haven't seen it. I've seen the trailer. I've watched it about 100 times, the trailer. It's actually great. And it's about hydrofracking. What the frack is hydrofracking, you ask? This is a means in which we pull natural gas out of the ground. And apparently in this country there is a swath of land from, I think, like northern Tennessee or straight up through that mountain range. It goes all the way up to the Catskills and beyond, where we have supposedly a Saudi Arabian size deposit of natural gas in terms of reserves. The only problem is that it completely destroys the water supply if you go for it. But we will talk to Josh Fox about that. And later in the program, I think I mentioned this yesterday, you know, I have been wanting to get phone calls on this program since the day we started. And I particularly like taking calls from conservative callers. I like taking calls from non-conservative callers, but I enjoy talking to conservatives. I don't know. Maybe it's a personality issue I have, but it doesn't matter. We can't take calls as of yet, but I got into a discussion, you could say, with a conservative on Twitter, just some guy. I have no idea who he is. And I said, he specifically wanted to know the distinction between Barack Obama saying bring a gun to a knife fight or something along those lines, and Marcos's bullseye relative to what Palin and other conservatives did. And I said, well, why don't you, give me a specific question, email it to me, and I'll answer it on the program. And he says, you know, I'm not going to do that. You're just going to make fun of me. I'm not going to have a chance to rebut. And I said, okay, why don't you come on the program? So if everything goes right, we will be talking to this conservative. Is that Dorsey trying to get in? Is the door locked? We will be talking to this conservative later in the program. Dorsey, forget your keys. Dorsey's late. But I will say this, you know, and, you know, the interesting thing is that when conservatives, I can always tell when conservatives feel like they're in the wrong. I mean, there are plenty of times where I feel like conservatives are in the wrong. And, but I can always tell when conservatives think they're in the wrong because I start getting emails from people I haven't heard from in a long time. You know, through the Sam Cedar Show at Gmail site. I start getting emails from conservative. You got to take down this sign, dude. I'm just looking in there. I start getting emails from conservatives making an argument with me as if we've been in an argument all along. You know, when they get this defensive. And, but one guy did draw my attention to an incident that I wasn't aware of. You know, I've criticized Senator Manchin for shooting that health care bill. I never thought that was appropriate. I mean, aside from the fact that I don't think a Democrat should be against that bill, per se. But to shoot it is wrong. That's not what we do. You know, we argue against legislation. We try and vote for its repeal. But you don't shoot it with a gun. It's just wrong imagery. Dorsey, treat that gently, please. It's a, just here. You just leave it on the ground. Just don't worry. Oh my God, guys, we got to get this crap together a little better. Dorsey comes in like you smell like you've been in. What were you doing last night? It's only a little heavy on the cologne this morning, buddy. He hasn't changed in 3 days. You know, I've criticized Senator Manchin as a candidate for shooting. I think that's, you know, retarded to shoot a piece of legislation. That doesn't do anything. It just puts a small hole in it. Apparently, this Representative Kornjaski, is that his name? Kanjorski, who I mentioned yesterday, who, you know, had used fairly colorful language in his description of his battles with the head of, what was it? Was it Morgan Stanley or?
Yeah, I think it was J.P. Morgan.
J.P. Morgan. Apparently, during his election, Kanjorski had this to say about the guy running for Senate, the Republican running for Senate in Florida, Scott, who was reputed to have been involved in a Medicare scam. He said, that Scott down there that's running for governor of Florida, instead of running for governor of Florida, they ought to have him and shoot him. Put him up against the wall and shoot him. He stole billions of dollars from the United States government. He's running for governor of Florida. He's a millionaire and a billionaire. He's no hero. He's a damn crook. We just don't prosecute big crooks. I agree with all of that stuff, except for the put him against the wall and shoot him. Now, I get that it's some type of metaphor, you know, for a people's revolt, but it's wrong. You just don't use that language. If you're going to engage in the political process, you don't use that type of language. Because that's not what the political process is about. I may pass out.
Really?
I'm slightly, like, allergic to... No, it's okay. Don't... You gotta put that in the hall. I would rather cigarettes. But you can ask Nikki. Like, I can't let her wear perfume. I'm very sensitive. I have environmental sensitivity. Oh my God, this show is completely falling apart. We're gonna have to edit all this stuff out in the podcast. Thank you, Dorsey. I don't mind. Listen, I don't mind body odor. I think everyone who's worked with me in the past knows that I'm not necessarily the sweetest smelling guy.
I have a date tonight, and I'm not planning on going home first. So this has to last. That's why
you can't cover that up. I got news for you. I don't know. You better hope that she has like some type of problem smelling, because that's a little strong. You guys got to go into like a smoky bar, but we don't even have those anymore.
I was hanging out with smokers all night last night before I went to work.
Where?
I had to drop some stuff off at my friend's studio. They smoke in the studio while they work.
Really?
They really open the windows.
Oh, that's nasty.
They're artists.
I understand. I understand. I used to be an artist myself. I had my days. So you know, I do think that it's not hard to find, well, it is hard to find examples of Democratic elected. And this guy, fortunately, was punished by the electorate for those comments. Now, Sarah Palin's come out with a screed about how there's a blood libel going on. Now, do you know what a blood libel is? Do you know what that means?
Yeah.
Do you know what blood libel means?
Doesn't sound good.
Blood libel was used in the Dark Ages, I think it was, or maybe in the... I don't know when it exactly started, but essentially a way of demonizing Jews. The blood libel was supposedly that Jews, I think it was, drank the blood of a small Christian child at Passover. Now, I can't expect Christians to realize that this is something we do at Hanukkah. but the blood libel, it somehow... she is using this blood libel language. But do you remember what have I been saying? What did I say yesterday on this program? In fact, I think, what did I say even the day before? Who is happy about this? Who is the happiest people in the world about Palin?
GOP.
GOP, exactly. Go back, listen to the podcast yesterday. Today, we have had Tim Pawlenty come out and distance himself from Palin. Today, we have had even Jonah Goldberg distance himself from Palin. I think we had, what's that dude, Scarborough, distance himself from Palin. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the greatest gift to the Republican Party possible. The Republican establishment has been trying to figure out how they're going to get rid of Palin, and because she is a loose cannon, excuse the metaphor, she is a loose cannon, they want to get rid of her. Now, I don't want to have to get into a position where I'm having to start to defend Sarah Palin so that she remains to be their candidate in the 2012 election. Maybe I've been reading that, you know, some people are speculating that, well, if Palin can't do it, maybe Michelle Bachmann would. And, well, all I can say to that is, yes, it'd be great. I'd love it if Michelle Bachmann ran and became the Republican nominee. But now, how do I know Sarah Palin actually wrote her statement? Well, it's because she uses it's because it's so poorly written.
Sam on the on the blog, Cent says that if memory serves, it's the cap and trade bill that Manchin shot at.
Was it the cap and trade or was it the health care? I don't know. Either one, it doesn't matter to me what Billy shot at. You don't shoot at legislation because you're not a moron. That's why you don't do that. But yeah, it could be. It could be. It doesn't matter. The point is it's inappropriate. It's just you just don't introduce weapons when you're having an argument about legislation, period. Couple of quick hits. New chief of staff, Daley. This is wonderful. William Daley has $7.7 million worth of J.P. Morgan and Chase Company shares that he will need to divest to take over. Now, I wonder if he will actually divest it or put it with like a blind trust or something. Probably divest. Wow, what a great excuse to get to offload that 7.7. I mean, the guy's probably got so much more than that. It's probably his weekly pay at J.P. Morgan was that. But for those of you who think that somehow he's going to be more open to the perspective of Wall Street and financiers and bankers simply because he's made so many millions of dollars from them, that's just crazy. If you don't think that William Daley has the ability to tell that there is a problem with Wall Street just because he's received millions of dollars from them, that's just crazy. And sarcasm. And Treasury Secretary Timothy Geithner, reported by Reuters, said on Wednesday the Obama administration is exploring the potential for tax reforms that will increase incentives for investment in the United States. I'm not sure I know what that means, because these tax incentives are going to be a revenue-neutral tax reform. So it means that taxes will be raised in some other way. So I don't know if that means we're going to try and encourage businesses to come here in terms of lowering taxes, or if it means that we're going to impose tariffs, which I cannot imagine that these fundamentalist free traders would do, which I think maybe it's time for, frankly. I don't know. I'm a little suspect of that. And Reuters also reports that home prices fell for the 53rd consecutive month in November, taking decline past that of the Great Depression for the first time in a prolonged housing slump. This according to Zillow. According to Zillow.com, home prices have fallen 26% since their peak in 2006. Exceeding the 25.9% drop registered in the 5 years between 1928 and 1933, the housing data company said on a report Monday. I'm suspicious of Zillow. I have to be, because I signed up for their reports to get, reports on my house. And rather disturbing. Rather disturbing. But, they don't have the ability to know that, maybe, I don't know. I don't know. I've come up with 1,000 different rationales why they're wrong. And none of them seem to prevail. We've got to take a break. And when we come back, we'll be talking to Josh Fox. He will be talking to us about his movie, Gasland, which I believe is now available on DVD. We will talk to him in just a moment. And then later in this program, we will be talking to this conservative. I don't know. I don't even know who he is from Twitter. But we're going to try this out just because I love to have an argument. And it's much better for me to do it with some guy on Twitter than it is to do with my wife. All right, we'll be right back after this.
On top of a formation called the Marcellus Shale, and that was the Saudi Arabia of natural gas. I could lease my land to this company. Could it be that easy? Everywhere I went, it was the same story. Water trouble.
We never had a problem with the water. After they drilled, the water was bad.
Oh, man.
Health problems.
I'm never healthy.
Hazardous explosive conditions inside the house.
Whoa. And all those dots you're looking at here are oil and gas wells.
This is happening everywhere. That's the biggest thing I want people to know.
I have samples that are from all over the country. I'm wondering if you're interested in drinking some of this.
We are back. That was the trailer for the film Gasland. And on the phone-ish device, on his phone anyways, is the director, Josh Fox. Welcome to the program, Josh.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing great. Now, tell us what the film is about. I've yet to see it, I have to admit, but I'm very excited to see it because I live up in the Catskills region, and this is a big local issue up there. But tell us a little bit of what the film's about.
Well, it's a big issue a lot of places. Actually, the film is about the largest natural gas drilling campaign in U.S. history that's been going on for about the last 5 years. And I got wind of it because my parents' home is in the Upper Delaware River Basin, not far from the Catskills, sort of on Pennsylvania side near the Delaware River. And that whole area there is being leased for natural gas drilling. And, of course, that's part of the interconnected watershed system that connects to New York City's watershed and provides water to Philadelphia, southern New Jersey, and New York, about 16 million people. Now, the reason why that's significant is because this form of drilling it's a new form of drilling. It's called hydraulic fracturing or fracking, and that injects all these toxic chemicals at very, very high pressure, infused in about 6 to 7 million gallons of water. And that breaks apart underground rock formations and releases natural gas. When we got a letter in the mail that asked to lease our property, which is about 19 and a half acres. This was back in 2008. When at that time the leasing rates were around $5,000 an acre, so it was a $100,000 offer. Wasn't uncommon in that area, and so I started to investigate because the gas companies were saying basically, oh, this is no problem. It's a minorly invasive technique. You're just going to wind up with a fire hydrant. in the middle of the field. But then, you know, I was
so
hearing from environmental groups.
Hold on, Josh, hold on for 1 second.
Yeah.
So they're asking to lease your property to do the drilling there?
Exactly. That's how I got involved in this. I mean, I have never made a documentary before. I'd made one previous feature film I've directed about, you know, my company, International Well Company, creates plays in New York City and all around the world.
Yeah, the film was Memorial Day.
My first film was first film was Memorial Day, actually, which
I
did
quite
a few different. Oh, thanks a lot. But you know, so I knew nothing about natural gas or natural gas drilling, and all of a sudden I find myself in the middle of this huge, could be totally transformative of the Catskills of the Upper Delaware River, and then did a little research and saw that this was 50% of New York State being leased, 65% of Pennsylvania, literally half of the state of New York and three-quarters of Pennsylvania or two-thirds of Pennsylvania. And then I started looking at it more, and this drilling campaign is going on in 34 states. So my first impulse here was to think that somebody wasn't telling the truth. It was either that the environmental groups were exaggerating this and making it out to be worse than it was, or the gas industry was hiding the facts. So I went to a nearby town, it's about 50 miles from me in more central Pennsylvania, called Dimmock, and where they'd started drilling about 3 months before I got there, found the place completely overrun, Halliburton trucks swarming everywhere, drilling rigs all over the place, people totally freaked out and scared, basically the industrialization of that area. And then what was most disturbing, people, their kids were getting sick, their animals were getting sick from drinking the water, and that some people could actually light their water on fire.
There is an amazing clip in the, you know, again, I've just seen the trailer, but where somebody turns on their faucet and fire comes out.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this wasn't uncommon. This phenomenon, in Dimmock, we look for it, and then all of a sudden, when people have reports of this, the gas company will come in, swoop in and disconnect people's water supply, and then start delivering them replacement water, all the while saying, this isn't our responsibility, this is just a sort of freak accident, we're just being good neighbors. But then I heard reports of this in Colorado and Louisiana and Texas and Wyoming. So I, you know, went on the road and designed this road trip to go all over the United States, ended up in the halls of Congress at the EPA, and met with people who, like you see in the trailer, and you can watch that trailer on YouTube or at our website, gaslandthemovie.com, where, yeah, people just take a cigarette lighter, put it to the tap, and you get ignition, this huge explosion. And this is something that saw quite a lot of places, and then saw when I've been touring the film in Australia. And all these areas where gas drilling is happening, this particular form of drilling, which is kind of like a turbo drilling. It's like they've turned up the heat on this because you can't really get gas out of these formations without doing this hydraulic fracturing or fracking, which is literally like creating a mini earthquake under the ground, breaking apart these rock formations with enormously high pressure. When you exert water down a well bore, you can actually create explosions with that water that are higher pressures than like a cluster bomb, and that's what's happening.
Let me just ask a couple of questions. So when we're talking about there seems to me, from what I know about hydrofracking, there seems to be two essential potential things that are problematic. One is that you are you're getting gas in your water supply, essentially, because it's leaking through, right? And now, when that happens, is that those people who are turning on their faucet and they're getting gas coming out of it, is that their wells that have been contaminated, or is it literally the town's water supply?
Well, it's not the town water supplies. These are usually private water wells that, you know, I mean, and that's pretty significant in Pennsylvania and New York. Pennsylvania has more private water wells, I think, than anywhere in the nation, something like 2 or 3 million people who are dependent on their own water supply. But what happens here is that you've got, and there hasn't been an investigation of this that really looks into the hydrogeology. This process, like I said, was invented relatively recently. In 2005, the United States Congress, which was pushed by Dick Cheney and the Energy Task Force, exempted this particular form of drilling. It's called it's known as the Halliburton loophole from the Safe Drinking Water Act. The Safe Drinking Water Act is our federal act that, controls underground injection of toxic chemicals. So you have two problems. One, you have gas migrating, like you're saying, gas migrating into people's water supplies. And that is at such high concentrations in some cases that you can light the water on fire. And then you also have this toxic chemical brew, which is fracking fluid. A lot of these chemicals are carcinogenic. They're neurotoxins. They're very bad for you. And those are used in the formula, and that stuff is turning up in small amounts, but not amounts that you want to be drinking in people's water supply.
What's
disturbing about this is,
I'm sorry. My understanding is that chemical, that chemical brew essentially is to separate the shale and the gas from the water. Is that what it is, or?
Well, there's different stages of the process. The first part of it is to create a gel out of that water. So it's a viscosifying. There are viscosifying agents. There are crosslinkers. Then you want to be able to inject another chemical down that will turn that gel back into a liquid. So you have no friction coming up with the gas. So it's very slippery. You have hydraulic fluids. You have diesel products. You have plastics. You have things that are corrosion inhibitors that are gonna keep the pipe from rusting. You have biocides in there so that any kind of biological material is not going to get in there and corrode the pipes. There are all sorts of chemicals. There's about 600, 700 chemicals that we know about. The other problem with this is that the companies are claiming that these chemicals are trade secrets, that they're proprietary. We're not allowed to know what they are. So they actually withhold that information, and it's very difficult to find out what chemicals are being used at which sites. So that when you have these kinds of chemicals turning up in your water and there's no other way that they could get in there, the gas company will say, oh, well, we didn't use that there. And, they'll run interference on you so that you can't actually prove that these are the chemicals that are coming from the process, even though that these are the kinds of things that they're using and there's no other way for them to get there. So it's like there's a lot of stonewalling going on. These companies are very aggressive in battling back or trying to battle back anybody who's coming out and complaining about this, and there are people, thousands of cases, all over the United States, where people have reported water contamination in these drilling areas. And there's a growing movement of people against this that I've seen just in my time. I mean, I toured 120 cities with the film, and this is hundreds of thousands of people who are immediately concerned. And then, of course, what you're saying, I think the question is this going to get into a municipal water supply? And that is exactly the concern. There's a moratorium on in New York State right now because there's huge concern in New York City with the watershed.
Well, the thing is that first off, you have to ask, why do you need an exemption from the Clean Water Act if there's no problem here? I mean, that should be the first red flag. The second is that just about everybody I know up in where I live, up in Columbia County, they get their water from a well. But the bottom line is that ultimately, even when I'm just running my water clean and exposing it nothing to pipes for my geothermal heating up there, you got to keep it far away from your water source because ultimately, if there's any chemicals, it's going to end up in municipal water supplies. It's going to end up in our lakes, in our streams. It's just going to go everywhere. You can't isolate this stuff.
No, and that's really of concern. You're talking about injecting and 40,000 pounds of these kinds of toxic chemicals per well. And when you're talking about a campaign that is now up to about 500,000 gas wells in 34 states, it is enormously concerning. In Texas, for example, you have Fort Worth, the Fort Worth area, the Barnett Shale. You've got about 15,000 gas wells. That's the water supply that brings water to Dallas. And when you're talking about, Fort Worth area, it is overrun. It has been industrialized to the point to which it's very, very difficult to live there. In my times going out to Fort Worth, and the movie's a road movie. I mean, you get to go from one place to another to another to another. It's actually kind of fun to go around the United States and see these amazing sites. Of course, the people in the film are in a very difficult situation. They're amazing people, and that's, I think, the strength of it. You've got cowboys in the middle of Wyoming, and you've got people in Scott Stringer in Manhattan Borough President of New York and everywhere in between. it is really disturbing and scary because you're talking about injecting these chemicals. And then the problem is that you leave them down there. 50% of that toxic material gets actually just left in the ground. They try to suck a lot of it back up, and then when it's sucked up, they put it in a big pit, and those pits leak. In many states, they're allowed to just bury those pits on site, so you're actually burying a toxic site on somebody's land. And when I first started with this, I was sort of looking into it, not knowing what I was going to make, if I was going to make a YouTube video, if I was just doing this for personal reasons. And I quickly, when I started showing my friends, what I was up to, they were like, "What is this? You're onto something here." And then, of course, now the film has been all over the country and all over the world. It's a hugely controversial issue. So let me urge people to take a look at it.
Just to be fair, I have trouble getting my 5-year-old daughter to drink enough water. And the idea that maybe it comes out of the tap somewhat flavored, maybe that's a good thing, the little chemicals.
these are probably things that you...
Right. I don't want.
I know you're kind
of
making a joke.
Now, all right. Well, let me ask you this. So, what can we do at this point? You have on your blog or on your site, I should say, gaslandthemovie.com. Yep. There's information about fracking. There's information about screenings, and there's also a tab to take action. What can people do?
Well, people can immediately go to gaslandthemovie.com, and if you click on your state, whatever state you're in, there's a list there of grassroots organizations that are working on this and national organizations that are working on this. There are letters that you can send to Congress in support of the FRAC Act, which is an act that would re-regulate gas drilling under the Safe Drinking Water Act. On the federal level, right now with the Congress, with the changeover to Republican administration in the House, it's unlikely that that would pass. But I do think that there's an enormous value in letting this Congress know that people care about this, because there are all sorts of ways that is influential with the Department of Interior. It's influential with the Obama administration, with the EPA. And right now, I think that's one very basic thing to do. The other thing is that to just really get aware of where this is happening. Like I said, if you're in the area that this has happened, you're bound to know about it.
And locally, I guess, too, what can be helpful is to basically tell your neighbors and your community that, if you have an opportunity to lease your property to these people, don't do it.
No, don't do it. Absolutely. And I think that with the gas companies coming in, they don't tell you the truth. And right now there is a media campaign out against anybody, like I said, the film, and anybody who's up in arms about this. You're talking about a multi-billion-dollar industry that has a lot of money for PR. So I think that the first thing to do, obviously, is to, get educated, and Gasland the Movie will be part of that, but also to go online and do the research. Go to ProPublica, take a look at all of the articles that have been written about this, and I think the story will be told to you pretty clearly, that this is something that these companies are doing for profit. And there are enormous problems everywhere they go, and then when these problems crop up, they say, "Oh, we had nothing to do with this." But what they're going to leave behind is a toxic legacy for these areas that is not going to be easy to undo.
Right.
Once
you've
contaminated underground water, you can't go back. You can't fix. No. You can't clean those aquifers. It's very, very, very difficult to do that, and prohibitively expensive in most cases to try to get these contaminants back out of the water. And we won't know if they're there for years, and you're going to be dealing with expensive water testing for quite a very long time to make sure that your supply is safe.
That's right. I mean, basically, this is one of those situations where once you shit the bed, as it were, with your water supply, the bed is shat, and you cannot unshat the bed in that instance.
Well, now, yeah, you can't really reverse this once you've got those things, and you're talking about up to, like I said, 600 different chemicals that you would have to be testing for each one of them to find out if they're there. All of them are very harmful, and all of them are contaminating in small amounts. So
where
going
can people,
from...
Well, we just got a minute here, Josh. Where can people see the film? I know you can buy the DVD at gaslandthemovie.com.
And on Amazon, and it's on Netflix also. You can Netflix it. The tour is ongoing. There is our tour dates on our Facebook page. is enormously active. It's another place to research and find out. We continue to tour with it in theaters, but Netflix, it's on Netflix. You can get it on Amazon.com. Those would be two good ways to
Now, I got to tell you, Josh, my wife is a documentary filmmaker. Now, I know that the people are going to criticize you and say that, you know, this is another one of those examples of somebody just trying to make a lot of money with a documentary.
They're not really clear on how documentary. Yeah, that's funny. Documentary filmmakers, I wish I could say that we were a bunch that were really rolling high and dough, but it's not really the case.
Just a classic case of an environmentalist trying to run a cottage industry, whereas the gas companies, they are really civic-minded. I think we all know that. But
yeah, well, this is a cottage industry, that's for sure. But it's a fight for our home. That's what's happening here. I mean, people, my back's up against the wall here, and so are my neighbors, and so are people across the country. And that's it brings out a lot in people, and you'd be surprised at how motivated, how intense this thing gets. That's kind of hilarious to think that, you know, and I've had that comment many times. Oh, you're just doing this to make money.
Of course you have. That's the way they.
I wish that was the case. I wish that this was extremely independent films. It's not really, the kind of thing where you do it to make a huge amount of money.
Believe me, I understand, and I wish there was more. I wish there was more money out there to incentivize more work like yours, folks. The website is GaslandTheMovie.com. It's available on Netflix, Amazon, you can buy the DVD. And I think it's going to be on HBO by 2012 or through the next year. Josh, thank you so much for joining us.
Okay, thanks so much for having me.
Bye-bye. All right, folks, coming up next, we're going to take a brief break, and then we're going to come back, and hopefully I will have on the phone this guy from Twitter. It's not going to be David Waterman. This is not a joke. We're really going to have a debate here. I want to have this guy on, we'll be back in just a moment. All right, we are back. It is Sam Cedar on the Majority Report and streaming live every day at 11:30. And, of course, you can get us through iTunes and whatnot. This week on Ring of Fire, I'll be talking to David Nywert of Crooks and Liars, who have written a great book on eliminationists. And that's sort of what we're talking about here. And as I mentioned at the top of the show, I got into a Twitter exchange with a guy who I presume is a conservative. I don't know. We'll ask him in a second. And I had asked him. He wanted me. He said, please, since I'm a right-wing moron, this is his words. I don't necessarily believe that. But explain the difference between Palin's map and Causes map or the Obama gun comment. And I said, well, send me an email, and I'll answer it on my show. He said, I don't want to do that. You're just going to won't give me an opportunity to rebut. So I've had him. I've invited him on the program, and he's on with us. We'll just go by the name Matt. Matt, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Yes, I am a conservative. I would agree with that.
Okay.
And a lot of people do think I'm a moron, too, so I'll even admit to that.
Well, all right. That's going to make it a little bit of course, is going to draw some sympathy, I think, from our audience. But that said, so, all right, let me tell you what I think the difference between Palin's map and Causes map is. We'll start with that. First off, and you may already know this by now, because I think at the time that you wrote this, you may not have been aware of the fact that you'd been duped. But Palin's map has these target symbols on certain areas, and her slogan was, don't retreat, let's reload. Talking about, I think we all know what she was referring to there, right? I mean, you'd agree that when she's saying reload, that is a term that you use when you're talking about guns. When you have gun sights, that's something that you're referring to with guns.
Absolutely.
And now, the difference between that and Cause's map is that Cause didn't have a map. And that Cause didn't have any targeting symbols. He had a... You know, you may have seen the one that was doctored up by somebody in, I think it was the Tea Party, but the post that you're referring to was from June 25th, 2008. It was about, it was entitled, 2010 will be primary season. It is a post that has 16 paragraphs and a list of almost 70 Democrats. And in paragraph 13, he says, who to primary? Well, I'd argue that we can narrow the target list by looking at those Democrats who sold out the Constitution this week. And then he goes on in paragraph 15 or 16, not all these people will get or even deserve primaries, but this vote certainly puts a bullseye on the district. I mean, I think, obviously, he's talking about targeting in the sense that political targeting, as the other 14 paragraphs in this piece would refer to, all about politics, as opposed to a map with a gun sight on it saying reload. But the other issue, I would argue, is that Marcos Melitzis is a guy with a blog. Granted, it is a huge blog. But Sarah Palin was the nominee of the Republican Party for the vice president. And that I would argue that as an elected official, you have more responsibility to bring civility. Not even civility is not even the issue. You have more responsibility to say we're going to deal with political issues through the political process, not through violence. And in respect to Obama's, what you call, gun comment, I assume you're referring to a political rally he was at where he said if they're going to bring guns, if they're going to bring knives, we should bring guns in this fight. Here it is. If they bring a knife to the fight, we bring a gun. And then he goes on to say, because from what I understand, folks in Philly like a good brawl. I've seen Eagles fans. So I don't know that he's really talking about, I mean, yeah, now maybe you could argue that metaphor is the same as something like holding a rally with M16s et cetera. But, I mean, is that what you're arguing, that those are the same things?
I don't think that what I'm arguing is that neither one of them is a threat. I mean, using targets in political talk, I mean, how many times do we hear targeted races? And you are correct about the cost target, the actual image of a target. I did find out later that was not the actual image. But
that was fabricated.
Well, the image of a target was fabricated, but the word target was used, which, again, target is a term used by people who shoot guns. So, I mean, you know, it's the same language. Mm-hmm. Also, last Thursday, Cost featured a column whose headline was, "My Congresswoman," which they're referring to Giffords.
Right.
"My Congresswoman voted against Nancy Pelosi and is now dead to me." Cost immediately took it down.
Well,
so
no,
how
no,
do
no,
we
no.
know?
Wait a second. No, wait. I'm going to have to correct you on this, too. Marcos did not take it down. The diarist, took it down because he felt bad. But you know what he was saying when he says, "is dead to me," right? I mean, you've heard that expression.
Right. So why do you give the Cost writer the benefit of the doubt, or Obama and his gum comment the benefit of the doubt, but Pelosi, Palin obviously is talking about actually shooting somebody because she uses a target image.
Well, let me ask you this. How do you respond to House candidate Robert Lowry of Florida holding an event at a gun range during which he fired a series of political targets, including a silhouette with his opponent's Debbie Wasserman Schultz's initials on it? Or when Nevada Senate candidate Sharon Angle said that we have Second Amendment remedies, which I think you know the Second Amendment is about militias and armed people, to address congressional policies, or when House candidate Brad Goring from California's 11th District wrote, "If I could issue hunting permits, I would officially declare today open day for liberals, and we would thin the herd." Or when Representative Giffords' opponent, Jesse Kelly, held an advertised event, quote, "Get on target in victory in November, help remove Gabriel Giffords from office, shoot a fully automatic M16 with Jesse Kelly." I mean, it goes on and on like this, but let me ask you this, Matt. Do you remember...
You're going to ask me how I responded to those things.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, about the same way, how would you respond to Joe Wilson's opponent running a commercial with Joe Wilson in the middle of crosshair on the screen?
I think that's inappropriate.
Okay.
I denounce it.
All right. So, I mean, I'm not
will
here
to... Will
you
denounce these things?
Oh, I don't even know which ones you're referring to. I haven't
all
seen
them.
I mean...
Will you denounce Palin for this thing? Will you say that this type of rhetoric is wrong?
I think if you say you're going to... If you mention violence towards another person, that's wrong. Absolutely. I mean, I think putting somebody's image inside of a crosshair is wrong. I don't think using a target, cartoon target on a state, district, or map is wrong, but certainly putting somebody's head inside of a crosshairs is definitely wrong.
Now,
I mean, how many times did
we
see it during
now,
the anti-war?
Why do you think when Gabrielle Giffords went on television a while back after she was targeted in this fashion by Palin? When Nancy Pelosi months ago said we're concerned about this rhetoric, did you take him seriously?
Did I take? Well, I don't know what you mean. I'm sorry.
I mean, be honest with me. You must have seen the derision that Nancy Pelosi got when she said we're worried about this rhetoric after health care.
No, I wouldn't. No,
I
mean, it's manufactured outrage.
Well, now, it's manufactured outrage. Do you think it's just a coincidence that, I mean, I guess it's what you thought. It's just a coincidence. I mean, Giffords was on TV months
this
ago.
Go ahead.
This is inappropriate, that we're concerned that this is going, that some crazy is going to take this the wrong way, and then she ends up getting shot by a crazy. I mean, so you think it was really manufactured outrage now?
Well, are you aware of when this guy started obsessing about Giffords?
Well, it's around 2007, but I know when he bought the gun, and I know when he shot her. And,
right.
And I'm not saying that this guy wasn't crazy before this, but the point is that you've had people out there who are warning that a crazy could take this the wrong way, and then a crazy ends up shooting her because of the environment, I think, that opened the door to making this a legitimate response.
But there's absolutely no evidence that this guy even listened to Palin or saw that target map or had. If anything, he was a left-wing kook.
Do you think that if a guy was a, do you think if this guy was paying this much attention to Giffords, that he was aware that A, that she had been going into the newspapers talking about feeling threatened, that B, that she was aware that her her office had been vandalized? Do you think he was aware of that? Do you think he was aware of the story of a gun? Showing up at the last time she had one of these events.
I have no idea.
Well, I mean...
I don't know if he was aware of it or not.
Well, I mean...
I mean, it's a huge leap to...
Of course, you and I don't know any of this stuff. But I'm asking your opinion.
No, I don't know. I don't think he did. I don't think this guy knew...
So wait, so you think that he was obsessing about Giffords, but didn't know any of these other stories?
No, I think he obsessed on her the way that... Hinckley obsessed on Ray... Or obsessed on Jodie Foster or... Maybe it was something like that. I don't know. I mean, you're willing to assign blame to Palin looking for any link?
Well, no. I'm not blaming Palin for anything.
Of course
other
you are. You blamed her on Twitter. I read what you posted.
Well, tell me what I posted on Twitter.
I knew you were going to ask me. Hang on. Keep going. I'm listening to
all
you.
All right. Well, let me ask you this.
Well, hold on. I got a question for you. Are you aware of the attack on the 2008 RNC Republican National Convention or plot?
The plot?
Somebody tried to plant bombs inside the Republican National Convention in 2008.
No, I wasn't aware of that.
Yes, true story.
Okay.
They actually stopped it. And if I can find it, trying to find two different things now. And so does that mean that we blame the rhetoric of a Barack Obama?
For what, bringing a gun to a knife fight?
Well, whichever you want to use. Or how about when he said, what was it? If they hit, you punch back twice as hard. Or Obama telling his supporters to quote unquote get in their face.
Let me ask you a couple questions here, okay? Because I mean, let me ask you this: do you think there are FEMA camps in this country? FEMA concentration camps? I'm just trying to get a sense.
No.
Do you think Obama is a U.S. citizen?
Yes.
Do you think that it's ever justified for citizens to take violent action against the government?
No, I would say no. No.
Okay.
Do you think that
we live under tyranny?
No, I don't think.
Do you think Obama?
No.
I know we all know where I'm going with this, but I mean it's not illegitimate. I'm just trying
Obama's
to get
just,
a sense
he's
of where
just
you're.
Another politician.
Do you think Obama is coming for your guns?
No, I do not think Obama's coming for my gun.
Okay, and the reason why I ask you this is because 28% of Republicans believe that it is justified for citizens to take violent action against the government. Almost 60% of Republicans think there is at the very least some question as to whether or not Obama's a citizen. You've got major, you've got at least 12 people in the Republican caucus who are legislators who think that there's a question as to Obama's citizenry. You've got Republican congresswomen on the floor of the House saying that we live under a tyranny. You've got major right-wing pundits saying that there are FEMA concentration camps. So now I applaud the fact, Matt, that you are, one of those few Republicans or conservatives who don't believe those things. But you understand that your fellow conservatives, a disturbing amount, depending on what you're talking about, 60% if you're talking about whether or not Obama's a citizen, 30% whether or not violence is okay. You understand that a disturbing amount of your fellow conservatives believe this stuff, and you've got your leadership talking about guns. Now, I don't think that you can give me a parallel when Barack Obama says, if they bring a knife to a fight, we bring a gun. I don't think you can talk about that as being as dangerous rhetoric because, frankly, I don't see the left or the Democrats, arguing that there needs to be a violent overthrow of our government in any way or that we're living under a tyranny.
You don't think the left, the members of the left, think there needs to be a violent overthrow
of the
government?
I'm not saying, listen, you can find freaks anywhere in any party and whatnot, but you show me numbers like 60%. That Barack Obama is not born in this country, or the 30%
where did that poll originate from?
What?
Where did that poll originate from?
A Washington Post, CNN.
Okay, I haven't seen the poll. I don't know what the question is. I haven't seen it. I mean,
all right, somebody will put it on Twitter right now.
Okay, I'm not here to defend everything about conservatives. I have a lot of problems.
But what you're defending is that the rhetoric is not dangerous. And you're defending it even after somebody who was worried about the rhetoric got shot. That's what you're defending.
I'm saying that you're picking and choosing which rhetoric you choose to think is dangerous, even though when somebody says like Barack Obama,
I am picking and choosing which rhetoric is dangerous.
Right, and so you're saying
who is the audience for it? What is their record? What is their belief system? And what do they believe about the situation? Listen,
all right.
When you think that you're under a tyranny, Matt. Doesn't that call upon you? I mean, if you when I said, do you think we're living under a tyranny? You said, no, of course not. But what if you did, Matt? What if you did and your leaders were telling you that we need to lock and reload and we need to spill the blood of patriots? If you believe we were living under a tyranny, what's the message there? And I assume you're a fairly rational guy.
Here it is. This guy's name was Bradley Neil Crowder. He was sentenced 23 from Austin, Texas, was connected to a group that planned to disrupt the RNC in September 2008, was sentenced in federal court to possessing destructive devices. So he was planning on launching a bomb inside the RNC in 2008. So by that logic, can we take that he did this based on the violent rhetoric of a Barack Obama?
No, I don't think so. I don't think that Obama's one comment about if they bring a knife to the fight, we bring a gun.
Okay, then how about his punch back twice as hard comment? Or, I don't want to quell anger. I think people are right to be angry. I'm angry.
Well, I think anger is fine too.
Obama said, "Get out there and punish our enemies."
But listen, if he said that if they bring a knife to this fight, we should bomb the RNC. Or if he said that these people need to be stopped by any means necessary. Or if he said bullets, not ballots. Then yes, I would think that yes, he contributed to that, but he didn't.
So if Obama said get out there and punish our enemies, would that be one of them?
Punish our enemies?
Yes.
No, I don't think so. But listen, I think Matt, we're never going to agree on this here. But I think that it's interesting that I think it's interesting and important for people to see how bare knuckled and how white knuckled people will hang on to this. Now, Governor Pawlenty. People like Jonah Goldberg, you're going to see more and more people who are going to try and throw Palin under the bus. Frankly, I would love to see her your nominee in 2012, but I think the Republican establishment's a little bit more concerned about what she'll do to the party. But, you know, you're starting to see more and more criticism of Palin. I think it's a little bit disingenuous coming from Republicans. But what do you let me ask you this. There's a story here I got from a leading evangelical, a guy named Mark DeMoss. And in 2007, he started a project called the Civility Project. And he is on January 3rd of this year, he sent out a letter to people saying, I'm shutting it down. This is January 3rd. I'm worried about where we're headed as a country on the civility scale. I'd be more worried if I were an elected representative at any level. He is a conservative Republican who helped introduce Mitt Romney to evangelists when he ran. He singled out political conservatives for criticism in his letter. Perhaps one of the most surprising results of this project has been the tone and language used by many of those posting comments on our website and following articles on various media websites about the project. Many of them could not be printed or spoken in public media due to vulgar language and vicious personal attacks. Sadly, a majority of these came from fellow conservatives. What do you say to that guy?
That's awful if he had bad comments on his website. I mean,
No. Well, what do you say to Mark DeMoss that his civility project is shut down and he thinks conservatives are have more of a problem with it than anybody else?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know the guy. You keep expecting me to answer for these people that I don't know anything about. I don't know this guy. I have never even heard of this project.
Okay. Well, you can go look it up on CNN, and maybe when you get a better sense of how you'd respond to him, that he's crazy or that he's making this up because he sees a false, because he sees conservatives as more problematic, maybe you can tweet me that. But
okay, well, listen, I'm sitting here looking at pictures from the anti-war protests when Bush was president. By the way, where did those anti-war protests go? I mean, just as a curious side note. I'm looking at these pictures. I see a beheaded George Bush.
Well, they ended in 2004, frankly. But I appreciate. Now, listen, Matt, I appreciate the
time. I see
a
beheaded picture of George Bush on here. I see a sign being carried by
I think any of those elected officials who promoted should be reprimanded.
All right, but I'm saying you're talking about the tone, all right? The
tone. No, I'm talking about elected officials and those people who are nominees and leaders of a political movement, of a political party, should be more responsible. That's all I'm saying.
And but you don't think President Obama should be responsible when he tells people to get in their face. Why is that okay?
Because that's a term used in basketball. All right, but Matt, listen, I got to go now, buddy. I've given you 15 minutes. I got to go, but I appreciate your time.
And the image target is used everywhere. People use it all the time.
Okay. Thank you, Matt.
Yep.
Get in their face is equivalent to use bullets, not ballots, is equivalent to the Second Amendment is a remedy. I mean, you know. I think he had some valid points, at least in terms of not believing that we have FEMA concentration camps, that Obama is not a citizen, that we live under a tyranny, that Obama is coming for your guns, that violence against government is justified. I wish that more of his fellow conservatives agreed with him. Maybe we'll do this one at a time, folks. All right, we're going to take a break. I will take your IMs on the other side. Tomorrow, I don't know who's on the show. But we'll find out later. And I will take your IMs on the other side as we begin the post-show. All right, we are back. It is the post-show show. The post-show show. Got a lot of stories I didn't get to today. I'll have to do it for tomorrow. Ladies and gentlemen, do you realize that Satan
is coming to Rhode Island. For 3 nights only!
Wait a second. No, actually, that's not it. I'm sorry. It's not a concert. Wait, why is Satan coming to Rhode Island again? I'll tell you, I've been to Rhode Island. It looks like Satan's already been there.
I submit today in the state of Rhode Island we are faced with a challenge to our baptismal promises to renounce the modern-day evil works of Satan and confess our belief in Christ and his holy Catholic Church. Oh, well, I guess that's a clue as to who said this. On the day of our baptism, we choose whose side we are on. The question we must ask ourselves, are we still on God's side? And if we are, how will we prove it? This challenge takes the form of an attempt to grant to same-sex couples.
Oh, that recognition reserved for the oldest and... Oh, same-sex marriage. Oh, all right. Turns out Satan... Satan spent a little time in Cranston. That'll get him out of there. You guys down in Cranston, I'll tell you what. Tell Satan to spend some time in Cranston. In Cranston. They'll never come back.
All right. Well, I don't know.
I just love a good story about Rhode Island. Satan.
Dude. Go down to freaking Rhode Island and get Satan down there.
Check out the Sox at Pawtucket. Maybe the Satan's just going to check out the Sox. See how they're looking. See how the Paw Sox.
Oh, that's the minor league team.
Yeah, they're going out to see the Paw Sox.
That's right. I remember that from the baseball cards.
Satan's going to check out the Paw Sox. That's all. It's not a biggie. No biggie. Dude's a Sox fan. He just likes minor league ball. It's no big deal. What? Why are you making such a big deal out of it? So Satan's going down. What's an untouchable reference?
Oh, that's the, you bring a knife, we bring a gun the Chicago way. That's the, that's probably the Obama thing.
Yeah, whatever. I mean, seriously. I mean, did anybody seriously think, I mean, like, you're equating those two things? But
Fox and Friends, I think.
Yes, like, I know Steve Ducey.
Chicago
style
politics.
Deep dish pizza. I mean, I just enjoy talking to conservatives because it really is illuminating. You know, I thought this guy, we talked about this like a day ago, I thought he would bring something else to, but the guy came to a knife fight with Tiddlywinks.
You should see if Breitbart will call in.
I don't want to talk to Breitbart. I mean, maybe, but I mean, there's no, you know.
He seems like he's pretty open to doing that.
Yeah, but Breitbart
Twitter.
Makes up, has all of these fantastical notions. Yeah. Yesterday, you know, I was on Twitter, and he said, like, how long do you think it was? How many minutes before the White House was on the phone with the unions to coordinate messaging about Giffords after the shooting? And so, you know, which, of course, is just sort of like one of those classic right-wing, you know, that's what Rush Limbaugh made his whole thing. You ask everything conspiratorial in a question. Do we know if FEMA has concentration camps? Maybe we can't. Of course we can't know, because they would hide that from us. And so I wrote back, well, maybe you should have had your boy O'Keefe, James O'Keefe, on the phone tapping patrol to find out. And then he writes back, $1 million if you could prove that, wired it to your account, that he tried to tap Landrieu's thing. And I eventually wrote back, well, how about, I should have wrote back, like, hey, will you give me 50 if I can prove that he was arrested for interfering with our phone lines and stopped in the process of doing something like that? But I don't want to give him my bank account number. That's the problem. Nefertiti, good morning, Sammy. That last one's from the Cats. Okay. Matthew, the best comment I saw about asymmetry of rhetoric was there are no liberals out shooting doctors for not performing abortions. Yeah, I mean, look, you know, it's very clear, you know. And when you're having to mock up, I mean... When that guy tweeted me about Marcos, he had seen an image of this blog post that had been doctored. Gifford's picture was added, arrows were added, bullseye was added, all these things, which in and of itself is an example of how they need to fabricate that they need to fabricate these images because they can't find them. And if you look at Marcos's actual post, it's literally the driest, there's, you know, I numbered all the paragraphs here. You know, you get like 14 paragraphs in, and it's all about, you know, you want to do something, start organizing locally, plug into existing networks, or start your own, begin looking for primary chat. I mean, it's all sort of like driest stuff, so that's why they had to fabricate this shit. And, you know, the guy, you know, is like, well, yeah, I tweeted that. I've been duped by my own people. There's no, you know, you don't have to do that when you're looking for right-wing examples. You don't have to do it. Manchin shot the cap and trade bill, and the ad say, okay, yeah, fair enough. It doesn't matter what the bill was. He shouldn't be doing it. Dede Fru, the best way to punish any rich people is to make them poor. I do think that there is value in the notion that people believe that their money is in jeopardy. Yes. So they got to throw a bone to the people. Rusty Cole, Zillow is really inaccurate, according to my friends that are real estate agents. Yes, Zillow, I think, is inaccurate. I mean, because you need to be in a place where the prices are very comparable in you know, without actually seeing the house and seeing the location. Sam begs himself to believe. Monkey of Jesus, just tuned in. Great debate on violent language. Thank you, Harold. Here's a link to the weekly war protest that's entering its 10th year. Every Wednesday night, holidays included, Matt is an ignoramus. Yes. Yes, there are protests that, to the extent that there are protests that existed in 2004, I would imagine they're still existing today. Are there mass protests in the way that there was in 2004? No. But they ended in 2004. Glenn Beck, Sammy Camera One, explicitly educates his audience that everything Barack Obama has done is exactly what Adolf Hitler did in the 1930s. Implicit is the famous moral question, what if you could have stopped Hitler before? Right. Right. On the national news channel. You decide. Exactly. Gravitune, false equivalents again, a diarist in Daily Kos or the Republican vice presidential candidate. Exactly. Exactly. Don't be a putz. Sound quality for the conservative caller at Matt was excellent. Went on a little long, though. You did almost feel like a real call-in show when you hung up on him. Yes. You know, if I could get more calls in, I would have gotten rid of him earlier, but I was just like, it's like, oh, it's been so long since I had pistachio ice cream. I'm not going to. Have you ever been asked to appear on Bill Maher's show? No. That's a venue where I'd like to see take on Breitbart. Yes, I would love to. I would love to go on that show, but I'm not sure why I haven't asked. I have theories, but they're not nefarious. I think it has more to do just with sort of show busy. Sarah the Surveyor. Buenos dias, Sam. Listen, Sammy, I got a problem. I don't think I can go on much longer without admitting that Gabby Giffords herself criticized me personally. Trying to figure out how to smear her for attacking my totally legit hobby of surveying on MSNBC. How do you smear somebody who's just been shot in the head? Thanks a bunch for your help. Gotta go tweet about how much I love the First Amendment. Love Mama Grizzlies. Heathenist, what good are EPA regs if these corps are exempt from them? The Satan-like Eclipse coffee milk. That I don't get. But I get the EPA regs. Right. Well, the idea is, I mean, you know, you try and get these regulations in, and if you got to put a couple holes in them to get them in place, and then you start to close the holes. I mean, you know, that's the theory. It's annoying. But, I mean, think about it just in sheer physics. If you've got a, you know, a leak in a dam and it's pretty big, you just keep throwing dirt on there until you can get the hole close enough to where you can plug it. Listen to your violent rhetoric, man. You just said plug the hole. Just like get in their face. What's that about? Maybe you never heard of when, you know, Thomas Paine said get into their face and send them home and getting the face bags. Coffee milk is a Rhode Island thing. Ah, okay. Are you getting one of the A15 engraved with you lie? Yeah, I saw that too. I mean, there was an interesting piece on rhetoric that Digby had linked to that, you know, part of rhetoric is also know who your audience is. And, you know, part of that is when you start talking about guns and Second Amendment and creating a... And there was a piece by... was it Harold Meyerson? Talking about... Yeah, when you create the sense of incredible paranoia, the government's out to get you. And then you start talking about the Second Amendment and guns. You know who you're talking to. It's not going to have the same impact on me. You know... Who's not a gun fanatic? Now, it's true. Obama says, get in their face. I'm just going to get up there and I'm going to put my hands up and try and block their view and swat that shit. That's what I do, man. That's defense, one of my best attributes of basketball when I actually get off my ass to play. Countdown to when Matthew IMs me who invites me to play basketball every Thursday. Hi, Sam. Took advantage of the snow day to listen live to the show. It says Vivian Huber. Oh, it's a long time. No, I am with you. I've been enjoying the taped shows. Vivian says, it drives me crazy when the media keeps using this false dichotomies about the left the same as the right. Yes, the false equivalences. Oh, folks, please, you know, I want to remind you, please become a Majority Report member. Soon we're going to sequester the podcast, and you'll only be able to receive the first part of the podcast, not this part. This part's when it all, I literally let my hair down. Why, Sam, are you trying to get hippies out there, let their hair down in an attempt to stifle people's First Amendment rights by shoving their long hair in people's mouth?
It's really violent rhetoric.
Yeah, it really is. And I hope you're getting just coffee. Hey. Let's do a test. Are the Just Coffee guys listening right now? We need more coffee.
It's true.
Jay Shiva, way to survey that guy. You surveyed the freaking floor with that guy. He was surveying in his pants. You showed him, don't survey a surveyor. Heathenist, need a non-PayPal donation or one-time payment option. Fair enough. Working on it. I'm happy now. Hi, Sam. Long time no M. The phrase dead to me means I don't love you anymore. Yes, I know. Old Italian idiomatic expression. Really? I thought it was Jewish. I had to call the show in an AM in Reno to correct my cohort about these false equivalencies. People are too damn scared to speak the truth. Fair is not always fair. Fair enough. Sugar High. I recently joined Twitter at Beckwatch. Oh, really? Well... And I'm honestly surprised by how angry people get toward him. The guy's a clown. He's a wrestling heel. It only helps his case when people say stuff like, you are human filth. I want you to die. Him equals Breitbart. I agree. They're both clowns. I mean, I've been watching some of like the clips. What is this, E4? Have you seen this? I think, here's my prediction. By 2012, when the Republicans have probably taken back the Senate and they have the House, Beck is barely political. Barely political. He will have moved on in his journey to being much more religious and self-help. Maybe before then. You know, this guy went from morning jog. You know, these are phases for him, I think. And, you know, if it starts, you know, his business starts getting bad on Fox for him, we'll just see him transition into something more touchy-feely and, you know, being like a sort of a, somewhere between like a Dr. Laura and Dr. Phil. And he'll probably start referring to himself as Dr. Beck. He'll probably take like a course. That's my guess.
Maybe he'll go to Glenn Beck University to get his own doctorate.
E4, man! Hey! What does E4 mean? Has anybody figured this out yet?
This is the first I've heard of it.
Yeah.
Oh, he's like talking about, like, he's got this new program for America, E4, and it brings on a psychiatrist. There's one clip where the psychiatrist is like, he works with him, who also co-wrote a book with him, so it's like, you know, Beck's meal ticket is just looking at him like, I honestly don't know what the fuck to say to this. It's not going to shit the bed on our financial arrangements. Savage does it. What do you mean? Education, empowerment, entrepreneurship, and something else. Idiotship. Did Savage make fun of him? And Breitbart is just like, you know, he's just sort of like just, I don't know. Oh, Dr. Savage, I get it. Yeah, because he has a PhD. Has Breitbart received a handjob from Glenn Beck behind his chalkboard? Rambletouge, come on. Watch Avant. Oh, Avant! Dude. We're going to have a conversation about Avant after the show, but Avant is set up at majorityreportrecap.tumblr, a recap of all the shows. It is so fantastic. I cannot tell you how gratifying it is when fans do this type of thing. It's just incredibly gratifying, and we're gonna sit down and try and figure out a way of incorporating it into our blog, because it's an incredibly valuable resource. We just don't have the ability to do that, and it was great. Watch Bob's Burgers pilot yesterday. It was actually very funny. Probably the best new animated show in years, which means Fox will probably kill it. And your work was great, including when Hugo was crying. You, sir, are a professional. I got to tell you something. I have done, and I'm just a reoccurring on this. I think I do like 7 or 8 out of 13. I'm actually recording another one in a week. I do a couple of voices on it. But Hugo is my big voice. And I've done, I was Fenton on Home Movies. I was the douche on Axie McGee. I was in a short run of Lucy, Daughter of the Devil. I was in Saddle Rash, all of which aired on Cartoon Network. I don't think I've watched a single cartoon I've ever been in. I've never watched a cartoon. I mean, since I was a kid, even The Simpsons, which I know is great. I've watched clips of it, but cartoons just don't do it for me. But there is no more fun than I have doing anything than recording those cartoons. Because we get into a room with a lot of people who I think are really funny, people who are friends of mine, and, you know, we do the lines, but then we go off book, and then we just go back and forth, and they, you know, Lauren Bouchard, who's the executive producer of this, he just does it in a very fun way. Very fun to do.
Yeah, are you guys all in the booth together when you're recording?
More often than not. Okay. And, you know, there's separation or something like that, but Avant, you deserve more shofars. You can't understand. Kevin 11721, Republican speech feeds schizophrenia. That debate segment was good radio. Thank you, sir. Spayef, many of us on the left do not even believe in owning guns. I was raised in a family that never came close to owning a gun. You know, I don't have a problem with gun ownership. Semi-automatic weapons, these high magazine clips, I think are very problematic. Because there's no call for it. I mean, you know, unless you really think that you're about to be taken out by a team of ninjas, in which case, you know, you should be doing more than just getting a semi-automatic. You know, you should be learning the ninja arts yourself. I have no problem with, you know, hunting on principle. I mean, it's not necessarily something that I love doing. But, you know, I went, my father-in-law took me to a range and shot skeet a couple years ago. I think I posted a picture once with shotgun. That was good.
It's fun.
Because all the video games.
Yeah.
And, you know, like I said, my neighbors upstate, they'll shoot a deer, and that will be their food for the year. I mean, their meat for 6-7 months of the year. And so, you know, I'm not against guns, but I think in certain contexts they're inappropriate. And there are certain ways that you can restrict certain things, I think. I don't know. But I'm not as responsive to taking up arms, you know, cause we're living under tyranny because there's some legislation I don't appreciate. Yeah, I parody in my tweets, entrepreneurship. Oh, yeah, wait a sec. The fourth. Oh, I went backwards. Sorry. Okay. No to architecture. No to architecture. No, I can't remember how to pronounce that. I think we need
into architecture.
Into architecture, right. Into architecture. Okay. I don't think we need to wonder about Sarah Palin's map was over the line the way Matt does. I think when we see that someone on her map and the crosshairs was shot, we can know that it crossed the line. I don't think we can hold anyone legally. Oh, of course not. And, I just think it's her. I don't think it's her fault. I don't think she can be blamed for it. But I do think that, you know, she uses this imagery and this language and has this marketing campaign that is irresponsible, period. And the mainstream media, I think, more than anybody else, should be disincentivizing this behavior by not taking her seriously as a politician. I have more problem with what the mainstream media does. Because, look, she's just got a gig. She's just a clown, like the rest of these clowns. But if the media does not in any way disincentivize this behavior, does not shine a light onto it and make it clear how dangerous it could be, that's the problem. I don't think there should be any government action. I think she should be roundly condemned by other leaders. And if she's not, then I think those leaders and the party establishment should pay the price. Pay the price? What did you mean by that? What do you mean by punished?
You know what I mean. Satan will come upon them.
And they will all be sent to Rhode Island! Bob Flave, Jared Loughner, Bob in Las Vegas. Jared Loughner's friend says suspect did not watch TV, disliked the news. Dislike the news? Doesn't watch TV? This is a newspaper. You see, I mean, there's an environment that's created here. Macintologist. So have our Second Rights Amendment rights been taken away, taken the rest of the Constitution hostage? Well, I mean, you know, I don't think it's that bad. Inferior buffet. The phrase, you're dead to me, as uttered by the Daily Blogger, is the opposite of a violent threat. It's a way of removing an enemy from the mind. Exactly. I think that's exactly right. There's no threat implied there whatsoever. You're dead to me. It means I'm done talking with you.
Yeah.
You're no longer part of my consciousness. I'm not out to get you. It's over between us. You're right. That's a good point, Inferior Buffet. I got to tell you, Inferior Buffet, your buffet is superior. Hi, Johnny. Hey, Sam. I was hoping the Jets destroy the Patriots this weekend. Violent rhetoric? No, but totally deluded. I send you to Rhode Island! Dradmanthes. Hi, Sam. Simple question. Can everything the right wing says at this point be defined as projection? Quite a bit. That's always been the M.O. Sam, how could you say M.O.? Hyperphil, he was an avid user of the internet. Right, yeah. The idea that this guy, obviously, was an avid user of the internet. The idea that this guy was sort of like not in any way absorbing our culture is just ridiculous. Isn't there something about tearing your shirt and saying, oh, they're dead to me? Yeah, I think maybe. Nefer, we'll go back around one more time. Beck will become apocalyptic Beck. Yes, he's still that way. E4, the apocalypse. MSM needs to ask questions. Was just anybody allowed to bring guns to any Bush rally? Of course not. You couldn't even go to a Bush, right, with a Bush rally with a T-shirt. Harold, progressives also believe the phrase death to America means calling for the literal destruction of a country. Oh, and your love-hate thing with cartoons is weird. Fair enough. De La Cala reports Sam Cedar wants to kill cartoons. Biggest fake equivalence overreach I've heard so far on the campaign trail. Michelle Obama told her audience, if your neighbor isn't planning you vote, you've got to shake him up. Shake him up! Oh, the humanity! Are you familiar with Okrent's Law? Ha! Yeah, I shat all over Okrent. Okrent was the ombudsman from the New York Times, I think, in which he stated in 2005, the pursuit of balance can create an imbalance because sometimes something is true. Has journalism fallen this far? And there's packs. Wow, did he say that in 05? Wow, when he was the ombudsman, he was bad. Didn't Okrent...
Say that again?
He said in 05, the pursuit of balance can create imbalance because sometimes something is true. That's true.
Yeah, yeah.
Was it Okrent who was the one who outed a critic of... Nagorny's? I can't remember. Oh, sales of Glocks, incidentally, I should tell you, have skyrocketed in the days following the thing because the nut jobs are afraid that Obama's coming to take away their Glocks.
Or they were just really impressed all the damage it made.
Well, that works well.
You know something that's not being talked about, though, is that everybody's talking about the Glock as though it's the only gun that has extended magazines. And you can get extended magazines for pretty much any gun, and that's a pretty glaring loophole.
Wow, Evan, I didn't realize that you were such a purveyor of violent hate rhetoric.
I know a lot of things.
Happy Now, do you play Angry Birds? I don't know what that is, but I've heard of it, I think. Yeah, that's what I said yesterday, Kevin. I'd like the same protection Peter King seeks. No guns within 1,000 feet of me, too. Exactly, I want that, too. Spay F. Patrick Chung, an ex-duck, plays for the Pats. I don't know how to respond to that. When liberals and Democrats get as much media coverage and venues as conservative Republicans, maybe we can all talk equivalency. As far as Matt DePalma, the RNC convention bomber, upon his sentencing, expressed remorse and said he didn't think his actions through. Such utterances you don't hear from right radicals who instead blame someone else. But look, you know, of course that's a problem that there was a guy attempted bombing. But, you know, it's... All right, folks, I will see you tomorrow. We'll see you tomorrow. Thanks for joining us. Don't get paid for the road that bends before it finally breaks you. I get somehow lost my drive.